VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk for a very special broadcast, a two-part series both today and tomorrow. Some of you have been or will be in a scenario that I'm about to unfold. Put yourself in this situation. The phone rings. Your heart stops. You look down at the screen and you see the name of your dear friend who has been waiting for biopsy results. As your shaking fingers fumble to answer the call, your heart cries out a silent prayer. You immediately hear the shock and sadness in the voice. You know, even before she utters those words, it's cancer. When you hear those two words you dread most from someone you care about, you know at once that your friend's life has been turned upside down. Whether you're a good friend, a best friend, or just an acquaintance, you want to be supportive. But how can you understand what they're going through enough to know what he or she might need? What can you say beside, well, if you need anything, just give me a call? Well, that's the purpose of our program in this series, to help you know how to give support and compassion with some specific action steps and practical support that will help you show love in the day-to-day details on this very issue. Joining us today, we welcome Marissa Henley. She is a cancer survivor and who writes, speaks about faith, friendship, God's character, and suffering. She is the author of the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. And Marissa, thank you for taking time to join us on the broadcast here for this series.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's begin, first of all, Marissa, with your own story, your experience with cancer. Take us to the phone call that you received October 25th of 2010.
Yeah, well, as you said, it was back in the fall of 2010. It was actually the day before my 34th birthday when I got the phone call with biopsy results. And the doctor told me that it was a rare and aggressive type of cancer called angiosarcoma. And I had actually never heard of angiosarcoma before. I had to fumble around and get a pen and a post-it note, and I asked him to spell it, and I wrote it down. And I, of course, was just in shock on hearing this news. And I think I maybe was quiet for a while on the phone because I remember the doctor said to me, Marissa, are you okay? And I said, well, I just don't know if you're telling me I have 1 year or 5 years or what. And he said, well, we just don't know yet. Hmm. And at the time, I had three young kids. My boys were 6 and 4, and my baby girl was 18 months old. And I hung up the phone with the doctor, and of course, the first thing I did, which I don't recommend, was that I typed it into Google, this strange new word that he had told me. And one of the first things that I read is that the 5-year survival rate for angiosarcoma is about 30%. And so I just started crying out to the Lord and asking him to preserve my life and to allow me to live at least those 5 years and be able to see my children grow up, for my daughter to be able to remember me. And I continue to pray that, and he continues to answer, and here I am. But it was a long journey. It was several months of treatment. And because the cancer was so rare and the prognosis was so poor, I was primarily treated about 600 miles from my home in Houston, Texas, at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And so I went through months of chemotherapy. I was on a clinical trial and spent a lot of time in Houston for that. And I also had radiation and surgery. And then I have been cancer-free since July of 2011.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. And looking back at that day and looking in your book, you wrote that within hours of your diagnosis that your friends began caring for you. How did they do that in such an immediate way?
Oh, it was so beautiful. I really spent the rest of the day on the phone, talking to people, letting people know the news, taking phone calls from doctors and people setting up appointments for me. And I called my husband, and he came home from work. My parents were out of town, but my in-laws also live here locally. My mother-in-law came over, and two of my best friends really within hours were at my house, and one friend just sat in my bedroom and started folding my laundry while I was on the phone with people, and it was so comforting just to have someone in the room with me in those moments that felt so scary and so overwhelming. And another friend of mine, without asking or without even telling me, honestly, just showed up with groceries and started cooking dinner in my kitchen.
Wow.
Because, of course, my three kids were going to be hungry for supper. They didn't really know at that point what was going on. They just knew that Mom had been in her bedroom with the door closed for hours. And so just meeting those emotional needs of comfort and their presence, and then also meeting those practical needs that my family needed to eat that night,
mm-hmm.
It was amazing just how they showed up. And then so many people were texting me and praying for me from that day and even until now. I'm so thankful for that.
Now, you mentioned this came a day before your 34th birthday. A day later on your actual birthday, there was a surprise birthday party. What happened there?
Yeah, so one of my friends, when we got the news of the diagnosis, she went out shopping that night and grabbed some snacks and supplies and gathered some friends. And so I showed up at her house the next day. I honestly can't remember how they got me over there, but I remember walking in and my friends were all there. And I'll tell you, it was the most bizarre birthday party I've ever attended because we were all in tears. Everyone was crying. There were toddlers and preschoolers running around because most of my friends at that time, that was the stage of life that we were in. And we prayed and we talked, and people gave me gifts that are important to give to someone in that situation, like a giant stack of paper plates because there was no time or energy for doing dishes. And we just prayed, and it was a bizarre feeling having that diagnosis coincide with my birthday, because at that point, we really didn't know how many more birthdays I would have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for me to look around the room at these people who I loved so much and wonder if that day in the future could be painful for them if I didn't make it. And so it was a really emotional time.
And with three young children, 6, 4, and 18 months, I'm sure your mind wandered in many directions wondering about their future as well.
Yes, that was really the hardest part of all of it, I would say. You know, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid to die and to be with the Lord, but I did not want that to be my children's story, to lose their mom at a young age. And so that was really my primary concern, was just their well-being through the time of my treatment and then what that would look like in their future. And I think as one who knows and believes the promises of God, that he is always faithful, that he is with us, and that he provides for us, I desperately wanted to believe that all of those things would be true, even if my children did have to walk through that type of suffering. But it took some wrestling and to be able to say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I know that your plans for my children are good, even if it doesn't look like anything I ever would have wanted for them.
So it sounds spiritually you were stable, Marissa, but did you question God?
You know, I feel that the Lord had been so kind and so faithful to give me a solid foundation to stand on before that diagnosis hit. And I am so thankful for the men and women who poured into me in the years leading up to that. It was less than a year and a half before that some older ladies led some of my friends and I through a Bible study on the character of God. And that was so foundational for me to know that no matter what the circumstances were, that I could trust that God was sovereign and that he is good and that he is faithful. And so I wouldn't say that I questioned God, but I definitely cried out to God and said, Lord, I don't want this. And this is hard, and, you know, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Like, help me to trust you even in these dark moments and even with these hard questions.
Marissa Henley is our guest here today on Crosstalk, a cancer survivor, and she's authored the book "Loving Your Friend Through Cancer." Some very practical tips and steps to take in doing just that, loving your friend who's just received that phone call, that diagnosis. Matter of fact, on page 28 of your book, Marissa, you speak of the very first steps of support. You've kind of highlighted them briefly, but tell us about those steps that when that response first comes and one receives that phone call from a loved one, "I've got cancer." Tell us about those first steps of support, because sometimes it's kind of awkward. What do I say? What do I do in such a time?
Right. Well, I think the most important thing is to reach out and to not be afraid to take those first steps of support, because I think sometimes we feel intimidated or unsure, or we're concerned about doing or saying the wrong thing, and we might want to avoid the person who's suffering or who's just received a diagnosis like this. So I would say, first of all, just take those first steps. Move toward the person who's suffering and take some sort of action. So here's some things you could do. You can pray for her. Pray for her or for him, and not just once, over and over. I still need my friends praying for me. And so I talk about in the book some specific ways that you can be praying. But pray for her. Let her know that you're praying for her, whether it's a card in the mail or a text message that says, "You don't have to write me back. I just wanted you to know I'm so sorry to hear what you're going through, and I'm praying for you in these ways." Another great first step of support is to offer to take her a meal. It might be even something that could go in her freezer, because those first few weeks after the diagnosis can be really busy with doctor's appointments and follow-up tests and coming up with a game plan, sometimes traveling to get second opinions. So something that could go into a freezer and be brought out when it's needed would be really helpful. Or you could send a restaurant gift card, or some places, if she has Uber Eats in her area, a gift card for Uber Eats would be a great idea. And then think about other things, like my friends at my birthday party brought me a big package of paper plates or easy breakfast and lunch food items, because they probably want to eat three times a day, not just dinner, especially if there are kids at home, things that could be popped into a school lunchbox really easily, something like that. Those are things that are really helpful in the beginning. And then lastly, I would say just don't assume that you know how she's feeling or what's going on. Just be prepared to ask thoughtful questions, especially if you're a close friend. If you are more of an acquaintance, you're probably just going to be popping in with your support, but not necessarily asking questions. But if you're a close friend, don't assume that she's feeling the same way, for example, that I'm describing that I felt on that day. But just ask some questions and be prepared to listen and just be present with her.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, part one of a two-part series on loving your friend through cancer. We're talking with Marissa Henley today, a cancer survivor, and she writes about her experience, but also about the very steps that were taken to minister to her, and gives you practical ideas that you can minister to another going through cancer. We'll be back with more discussion after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast does Niagara Falls erode?
Chris, based on historical measurements, the falls has eroded upriver approximately 5 feet per year. In the early 1800s, when Sir Charles Lyell was promoting his millions of years concept, he used Niagara Falls to support his theory. Lyell claimed it was eroding at less than 1 foot per year, thus was tens of thousands of years old. This, he claimed, disproved the Bible. But in reality, Lyell ignored the evidence of rapid erosion. In fact, the erosion rate and the distance of erosion almost exactly points to the Great Flood of Noah's day as the start of erosion of the river's valley. The fact is, Charles Lyell was wrong, and the Bible's still right. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Loving your friend through cancer. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Marissa Henley is our guest, a cancer survivor. She has authored this book, and as I went through it, saw what a great practical tool this is to be a help to so many a listener whom you minister to, perhaps in your own family or through your church, and certainly look for those practical steps and ways that you can minister to those. I would like to mention, I'll give you information later in the broadcast as well, but this book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, we are offering through Crosstalk, our way of just saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. We'll send a copy of this book to you. Cancer being a life-altering challenge, but our guest today just really equips and empowers you to walk right alongside with your friend in love and in support. And if you'd like to obtain a copy of the book, just go to our website, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or call 1-800-729-9829. Maybe you're in this situation right now, and this book would be a practical tool for you. Call 800-729-9829. Marissa, a couple pages in your book, page 30, you talk about determining your circle. You talk about the inner circle, the middle circle, the outer circle. What are you getting at here?
Well, I think this is an important step to take when we're deciding what types of things we're going to offer to help our friend with when she's been diagnosed with cancer. And I think in these days of social media, sometimes we get confused about the closeness of our relationship with someone. We might overestimate our closeness and think that just because we know where she was on vacation last week or even what she had for breakfast this morning because we saw it on Facebook, mm-hmm. we might think that we're really close friends, and we might offer to do something that's maybe a little too intimate for the reality of our relationship. Then on the flip side, I think sometimes we think, well, I know that we're not very close. We're just acquaintances. I don't know her very well, so I don't think there's anything that I can do to support her. And one thing that I want people to take away from this is to know the outer circle, those acquaintances, are so important, and they play such a vital role in the support network. And so I think knowing where we fall, are we an inner circle, very close friend? Are we a middle circle friend that socializes occasionally, but we don't necessarily go deep? Or are we an acquaintance? And then understand that each one of those circles has an important role to play.
And friends, one of the things that Marissa does in the book is she goes through each of those different levels of friendship, so to speak, and gives you practical suggestions what you can do if you're in that inner circle, that middle circle, that outer circle, as well as how everybody can be involved and certainly being an encouragement. One of the things you also point out, Marissa, is not only does the one battling cancer go through struggles, but also the friends of that person. And you talk about some of the struggles one goes through as they see their own friend going through cancer, and they try to minister to their friend or loved one who has cancer, but it seems like they also have some needs, and you have some attention drawn to them as well.
Right. I think it's important to realize when you're the friend of someone who's going through it, it's hard on you too, and it's hard because your relationship has changed, your friend, her life has been upside down, and it affects everyone that she's close with. And so you might not get to see her as often as you did before, or you might struggle with finding balance because you want to do everything for her, and you're just not able to do that because you've got your own commitments and things too. Or you might even fear the outcome for her, and you might be struggling with your own fear of losing your friend and walking alongside her family if that happens. And so it's a really emotional time for the friends as well.
Hmm. In chapter 4, you address how to avoid saying the wrong things. what are some of the things people say?
Oh, this is such a loaded topic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that One way that we tend to put our foot in our mouths is when we make it about us rather than about the person who's going through cancer. And so sometimes I would hear people say things like, well, you know, none of us is promised tomorrow. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. You know, we just never know. Or making it about them and how upset they are over your diagnosis. When really you're the one who's going through the hardest part, even though it's hard for others. So I think that keeping the focus on our friend with cancer, keeping our focus on her and what she's going through rather than on ourselves, or another thing that I had done actually before I walked through this myself, when I was walking through this with others, is I would tend to compare the illness that they were going through with an illness that I'd had. So maybe they were really nauseated by the chemotherapy, and I was really nauseated through all three of my pregnancies. And so I just was trying to connect by having this shared experience, but I found once I was the person walking through it that's actually not very helpful, because the difference between nausea during chemotherapy as you're battling cancer is completely different, both physically and emotionally, from the nausea that you have during a healthy pregnancy that's going to result with a baby. So I think that's one thing is when we make it about ourselves. One thing, too, that I talk about in the book, and I think this can be difficult to talk about because it's definitely nuanced, and that is that sometimes we say religious platitudes or we even share verses that are absolutely true but are unhelpful for someone who's just been diagnosed with cancer. And this was something that came up over and over again. I talked with many cancer survivors, people whose parents and children and husbands had also walked through cancer. And when I said, what was something that someone said that was unhelpful, every single time they said the thing that they heard the most was, God has a plan, God's in control, God works all things together for good. And I wholeheartedly believe that those things are absolutely true. And in fact, when I was walking through those hard times, knowing that those things were true, I mean, that was the only way I could get out of bed in the morning. When the Holy Spirit applied those truths to my heart, they were a balm for my soul when I was hurting. But when other people said those things to me, it felt like they were saying, why are you so upset? Don't you know it's going to be okay? Or if you just trusted God, you wouldn't be crying, or you wouldn't be afraid, or you wouldn't be so sad. And I know that when we say those things to our friends, that is not what we're trying to communicate. We're not trying to cause them to feel judged or like we're dismissing their pain, but often that's what we hear. And so I think if we want to meet our objective and our goal of speaking words that are going to comfort and encourage our friends, and they do need to hear the truth of God's promises, but we can better meet that goal of comforting them by sharing different types of verses that share God's presence with them, things like Psalm 34:18, which says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, or I think it's Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Mm-hmm. Those types of verses are so much more helpful.
Marissa, you speak about curious questions. Give us an example of asking curious questions versus asking what you call caring questions.
I'll tell you a story about this. I have a friend who was asked by someone else after I had been diagnosed, and this one of my close friends was asked by an acquaintance what my prognosis was and how long the doctors thought I had to live. And that came across as a curious question. And it was a question that was, it wasn't that it wasn't caring, but just in that context, it felt like a curious question that was kind of digging for information to satisfy a curiosity. And then on the flip side of that, there was a day that I was sitting with the woman in Houston who took me in and let me live with her and with her husband. They took me in for several months when I was down there getting treatment on a regular basis. And we sat one day in her living room, and I was tearfully sharing with her my fears that I might not see my children grow up. And she looked at me, and she said, "Marissa, have the doctors told you that you're dying?" And the way that she asked it and the context in which she asked it, it was caring. Mm. It wasn't curious. She was caring for my heart, and she was seeking to understand what I was thinking and what I was feeling and what I was experiencing that day. And it was in the context of a close relationship that we were building. And so it was basically the same question asked in two different ways and in two different relationships and contexts. And so it's not necessarily that there are questions that are wrong to ask. It's just, when are you asking? Who are you asking? How are you asking? So I think before we ask a question to our friend with cancer or to someone in her inner circle, that we need to ask ourselves, am I curious or am I caring with this question? And how is it going to come across? And so I think questions that are caring would be, you know, are you feeling discouraged today? What kinds of side effects are you struggling with today? Questions that are really focused on her and her experience and her heart and what she's going through.
Is there a danger of asking too personal a question?
Yes, that is definitely something that comes up a lot. And I think that when someone is going through a medical crisis like cancer, often people think that that kind of makes questions of a personal medical nature fair game because it's a medical crisis. But those questions can still feel very intimate and very personal to the person who's going through it. And I think this happens a lot, especially with breast cancer, as women are facing surgery, and it's deeply personal. And so I think one thing to keep in mind is ask yourself, would I ask this question if my friend did not have cancer? Are we close enough that this would be an appropriate question for me to ask? So if your best friend has breast cancer, it's probably a little bit weird if you don't know if she's having a mastectomy or not, because you had that level of intimacy before cancer to know those types of things about her and about her medical situation. But if you're an acquaintance and you normally would not ask that level of personal question before she had cancer, then you probably should steer clear of it now.
And again, friends, there's a whole chapter on this, how to avoid saying the wrong things. And again, what I appreciate, Marissa, is at the back of each chapter, at the end of each chapter, you actually have action steps. Here's just one on this section. Say less, listen more, be willing to sit with your friend through silence, tears, or whatever she needs to say. So important, isn't it?
Yes, and so difficult. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to say and so hard to put into practice, but our friends really do need that from us. They need us to listen and to be willing to sit in those uncomfortable moments and to be okay with silence, to be okay with her hard questions, to be okay with her grief, and not try to push her to more comfortable territory because it feels awkward or it feels difficult for us. So I think the more we can do to just listen, that will really serve her well.
We're going to take a quick break. I've got just a couple more questions we'll ask Marissa today. Of course, we'll be continuing our discussion tomorrow on this topic, but stay with us, friends. We'll also give you opportunity to call in on the broadcast today. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
Our society is being influenced by the entertainment media, and we don't even realize it. Why is it that many Christians entertain themselves by watching movies or programs that take God's name in vain, or feature sensual activity on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday to praise His name? That's the underlying message in the DVD, Power of the Air by Dave Cristiano. This moving story features a missionary from Africa who warns that the church in America is being deceived and in great danger. A Christian that hears this message is convicted and makes a significant change in his life and sets out a plan to reach his city with the gospel. Watch this story unfold in the DVD, Power of the Air. Available now for a donation of $18, with additional copies available for a donation of just $10 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
Today is part one of a two-part series, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. Our guest is Marissa Henley. She is a cancer survivor herself. And folks, she has put together just a wonderful resource book to be a help to believers in Christ on this very topic. It's approximately 250 pages. It's very easy to read, but very practical, as the book, the subtitle, Moving Beyond I'm Sorry to Meaningful Support, and that's exactly what this book does. Again, we are making this available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. If it's not of practical use to you now, it likely will be, and we would certainly commend a copy of this book to you. It's available through our website at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling us at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Marissa, just a couple more questions here before we open phone lines. Let me ask you this. Is it a good idea or a bad idea to share the latest cancer treatment you just heard about?
Well, that's a great question. Since you've read the book, you probably know my answer to that. And this is a hard one, and I know that I'm probably going to step on some toes, but I encourage friends to not share medical advice with their friend with cancer. And I'll give you a little caveat to that in a minute. But I think the problem with that is that when you get medical advice from friends, sometimes it's helpful. Other times, it doesn't really fit with what you're doing or what your doctors are telling you to do. And then it can make you feel a little bit awkward around your friend if you're not taking her advice or you're not following up on the information that she sent you. And you do get a lot of this when you've been diagnosed with cancer. And I know people are just trying to be helpful. We desperately want to do something to fix this problem that our friend has that is breaking our heart. And so I know that it is so well-intentioned. But I would encourage people to steer clear of it. Know that your friend has a team of doctors who have gone to school for a lot of years, and they, when they come home from work at night, her doctors are reading the latest medical journals with the latest research on her type of cancer and doing everything they can to help her. When I had cancer, I had so many doctors that I still to this day cannot use. And so I really just needed to listen to them. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my caveat. If someone is listening to me say this right now and they're saying, no, Marissa, you do not understand. I have information that can really help my friend. You know, maybe you've been through something similar. Maybe you're an expert in some area or you've done a lot of research about this advice that you want to offer your friend. Here's what I would suggest. You can send one text or one email to your friend that says, I just want you to know that I have done a lot of research into, say, it's how diet affects inflammation in our body and how that relates to cancer. And I would love to share this information with you. If you're interested, just let me know. Hmm. And just leave it at that. Let her be the one to ask for more information if she wants to know. But in general, I think it's better to just steer clear and let the doctors be her doctor, and then you can just be her friend.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to our phone lines. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We've already covered several items in the book, the first several chapters of the book, and so much more that's available for us. But Friends, some of you are in this situation yourself. Maybe you are one that is going through cancer yourself, or you're assisting to come alongside somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody in your church that you're coming alongside to seek to be a help to them in some practical way. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. The book entitled Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Lat calling from Racine, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Just to go back, when my mother had cancer, and instead of putting the focus on herself when she had a high stage of cancer, she went out and visited with other people that had cancer. And the biggest thing you give them, the diagnosis for cancer, has given the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lat, for the call. Any comments, sir, Marissa?
Well, I just think that's so beautiful to hear that. And the Lord is so kind when he gives us just the ability to go and to minister to others, even in our pain. And he uses the comfort that we've been given so that we can pour that out and comfort others. And so I love hearing stories of that, even though that's so hard and so bittersweet, just to hear about how your mom was able to go and minister to others. I'm sure she was such a comfort to them.
And is there a difference? He talked about the need to share the gospel. You sense a need to share with somebody who has cancer, who is a believer, versus those who are not?
It's such a difficult thing, and I really do struggle to know how to comfort and encourage those who are apart from Christ, because he really is our only hope in life and in death, that we belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I find it so much easier to comfort and encourage those who have that hope, and then for those who don't, just to continue to pray that they would be brought into the family of God, and that they would see the hope that we have in Christ and embrace that. So it's definitely hard, and it's hard when we're walking along someone who doesn't have that hope, and seeing how that plays out in a situation like this. It's heartbreaking.
Our number is 1-800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Ron is calling in from Hermiston, Oregon. Ron, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying this program. I lost my wife 4 or 5 years ago. I lost my daughter for cancer 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry.
And she and we have been Christians all of our lives, and we don't know what the Lord's plan is, but it's okay with us. But remember the ones that's gone. I mean, remember the people that's left. When I lost my wife, we had lots of friends, and nobody shows up. Nobody says something. And the first thing somebody says is, I know how you feel. Well, nobody knows how you feel when somebody's gone. This one guy come around and he says, I know how you feel now. He lost his wife. Anyway, remember the ones that's still around, and I'm so happy that you're safe and well.
Man, thank you, Ron, for that call. Some important words here from our caller, Marissa.
Yes, and Ron, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's so hard, and I also hate that your hurt was compounded by the hurtful comments of others or their failure to show up during that time. And I think when other people are grieving, to be honest, it can make us uncomfortable, and it can feel awkward, and we don't know how to enter into that and be with them in their pain. And I think as the body of Christ, that is something that we need to do better. We need to be willing to move toward those who are suffering and enter into that pain, to sit with them and to comfort them, to serve them in practical ways, to pray for them. And yes, you know, when it doesn't turn out the way that we hoped that it would, we need to continue to walk alongside the families that are left behind.
Thank you, Ron, for the call today.
Yes.
Scott is next in Milwaukee. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm a cancer survivor myself. I give it all to the Lord. I had a tumor that was inoperable, and my first chemotherapy treatment, that God destroyed the whole entire thing. And I watched and had my parents home with me in hospice care and watched both of them die of cancer. So I want to say thank you for her writing this book, because I can understand where she's coming from. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your call. Bye-bye now. And praise the Lord for this. Scott has experienced both sides of this, losing family members to cancer, but also experiencing cancer himself. We have Bob next in Mason, Wisconsin. Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and thank you very much for what you do. Yes, this is a very serious topic that you're covering today, and real quickly I'd like to say I was diagnosed with cancer, and I know quite a few people in my hometown area, and what I got a lot of, and I don't think people should do, is, yeah, my wife had the same cancer you had. She lasted 8 years. Stuff like that. I wish we could veer around. And the other thing, you know, there was a lot of negativity when people, like you said, when they were asking questions, what type of cancer do you have? Oh, yeah, boy, that's bad. You know, you're not going to make it. Stuff like that. They definitely need to steer around that. But the other thing I'd like to say is at the time when I had cancer, I was undergoing transformation. And when I found out so many people were praying for me, that right there was the love of God. And I can tell you that 11 years down the road now, my peace is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Bob, thank you so much for your call here today, and I know that you've been touched greatly by this. And Bob, the publisher has provided us a few copies of this book here, and if we could put you on hold, we'll get your name and address and send you a complimentary copy of the book.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on the line, please, Bob. Okay, and very moving there, he also, Marissa has expressed, you know, some of those wrong things that have been told him.
Yes, and you know, it is, that's a very common one when people hear about the cancer that you have or that your loved one has, that they want to share about someone who they know who had that type of cancer. And they share that information often, whether that was a positive outcome or a negative outcome. Yeah. And again, I think just like when I would compare the chemo-related nausea to my pregnancy-related nausea, we're just trying to make a connection with the person who's going through it, and we're well-intentioned in that, wanting to make a connection, but it's just really usually not helpful. And again, we're taking the focus off of them and putting it back on us or the person that we know or the connection that we have to that type of cancer that they've just been diagnosed with. And so I would say let's steer clear of all of those comments. You know, maybe if you know someone who had that type of cancer who's doing really well, and that person might be willing to walk alongside your friend who's newly diagnosed, that might be information that you might choose to share. But let's not talk about the stories that would not be encouraging or comforting to our friends.
We're just seconds from the break, so callers who are online, please stay online. We'll get to you right after the break, but I don't want to interrupt your conversation with us here, because we're just seconds away from taking the break, so stay online. Our number, by the way, is 800-733-9829. And if you'd like to obtain a copy of Loving Your Friend Through Cancer, it's available here through vcyamerica.org. You'll find it right there on the scroll, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard here at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Contribution of $16 or more, and ask for a copy of the book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We're sad to announce the passing of our friend Phil Haney, former Department of Homeland Security whistleblower, who wrote the book See Something, Say Nothing. Phil's TV show was filmed in our TV studio, and it was called National Security Meltdown. It was to be the basis of a new book, and we understand there are some things that were going to be in that book that would not, well, have set well with some folks. We know he kept files and records. He openly spoke about this at our conferences and knew who it was that were deleting files from the Department of Homeland Security database related to jihadis. He was investigated many times. They convened grand juries against him. And he told us many times the same people after Donald Trump were the same people after him, the same deep state actors. The death is very suspicious, and it is being investigated by many of his friends, many of them who are former law enforcement. So pray for Phil's family, and we honor Phil Haney.
Today is part one of a two-part series, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. And our guest today, Marissa Henley. Back to the phone lines to Nampa, Idaho. We have Ben who is calling in. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to the whole conversation you were having with the lady about cancer. And I would like to just stress that besides going directly to the Lord with your thoughts and concerns on whatever health problems you're having, is really do research for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have several medical problems, and the doctors I have just made them worse for me. And it's really important to do research for yourself and find out yourself what the best way is for these things, because in all reality the doctors are not on your side.
We're gonna have, thank you for your comment here, Ben. Marissa, did you feel the way Ben did, that the doctors were not on your side and that what you were told was not accurate?
Well, I was in kind of a unique situation, even among those who were diagnosed with cancer, and that my type of cancer was so rare that there's actually very little research out there on it, because there are so few people diagnosed with it and so few survivors. And so I really did need to find a doctor who was an expert on this type of cancer. And for me, that was, as I mentioned, at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And so my oncologist there actually treats about half of all the cases of angiosarcoma in the country. And so I just put myself in his hands from an earthly perspective. Obviously, mm-hmm. I knew that I was in the Lord's hands ultimately, but medically speaking, we put myself in his hands and we did what he told us to do just because of the type of cancer that I had. But I do think that we do need to be our own advocates medically. We need to be aware of what we have and what is going to be helpful, and not be afraid to seek second opinions, not be afraid to do research. And any doctor who is a good doctor will not be concerned or put off by your desire to get a second opinion. And so I don't think we should ever shy away from taking some initiative in our medical care in that way.
Great. Thank you, Ben. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air, Courtney.
Yes, God bless all you saints. And my father-in-law, he passed away with cancer. I used to carry him back and forth to the bathroom. He was so weak. But the thing is, I'm calling for you saints today because I'm asking a prayer for all the women down at the dialysis, kidney dialysis. One, she died, passed away, went on to be with the Lord with back cancer. It was all in her back. And another one they took out today, ambulance had to come and get her because she couldn't breathe. Please, saints, pray for them. And I'm going to say something to that man that just called before me. Saints, you put your trust in God. That's the healer. That's the doctor. Mm. And the doctors do care about you.
Yeah.
I mean, when I come home and sometimes I can't even get out the bed, I say, by his stripes I'm healed. And Lord, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. And you know, God has never let me down. And remember this, saints, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And God bless you all. And especially that woman that's on the bed. I'm recording it now so I can play parts of it at the center when I go for my treatment. God bless you.
God bless you, Courtney. Thank you for the call. Marissa, he talked about the importance of prayer. Courtney did there in Miami. How did prayer have a significant impact upon you from the day you received, probably even before you received that phone call, to guiding you even through the treatment process?
Well, it was such an important part of my journey. And as one of our earlier callers, I think it was Bob, was saying, you know, what it feels like to know that so many people are praying for you. It truly is a humbling and overwhelming and just amazing experience to know that I was being prayed for by probably thousands of people. And in fact, there was a church somewhere in Tennessee. I don't even know who I know at that church or how my name got on a prayer list, but on almost a weekly basis throughout all of those months, I would get a little yellow postcard in the mail from someone at the prayer room at this little church in Tennessee letting me know that they'd been praying for me. And it just was such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. People who didn't live near me or weren't able to bring me a meal or weren't able to give me a ride to chemo could bring me before the throne of the Creator of heaven and earth and intercede for me. And it's a beautiful privilege. And so it was an important part of my personal life to bring my cares and concerns and cry out to the Lord and ask Him for strength and for peace and for faith to keep clinging to Him during that time. But my friends really did stand in the gap for me when I didn't even know what to pray, just to know that at any given point in time there was probably someone out there praying for me. It just really sustained me and brought me so much comfort.
Now, friends, today is part one in our two-part series, and tomorrow we're going to get into some other very practical ways of ministering to your friend through cancer, loving your friend through cancer. We're going to be getting into issues like understanding their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, their logistical needs. We'll be getting into physical needs and practical steps and ways that you can minister in that regard. When all is said and done, Marissa, what are you hoping your book will accomplish?
Oh, I hope that this book just encourages and equips and empowers the body of Christ to reach out and walk alongside those with cancer, that we wouldn't shy away from their suffering or their pain or their grief, but that we would go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him what He would have us to do, and then have the courage and have the insight and the wisdom to know how to go and to do it and to support our friends.
Marissa Henley is our guest here today, and she has authored a powerful book, Loving Your Friend Through Cancer. We're making it available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, and we'd like to get a copy in your hands. To obtain it, you may go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or you may call 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829, and request a copy of the book. It's something that will impact you, perhaps going through the situation right now, or if not, it may not be too far down the road when you have the opportunity to minister to such an individual. Marissa, thank you for being with us today. Look forward to having you back tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
And friends, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk as we discuss loving your friend through cancer. Join us tomorrow for part two of the broadcast. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.